Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show. I am Matthew Aaron, www.thematthewaaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter. As we figured out the other day, the unsearchable Matthew Aaron Facebook account. And the Matthew Aaron Show is on Facebook, though. You just can't find me, I guess. I guess I'm hidden.
You are hidden.
I am sitting next to...
Steve Weirich, everybody. Hello.
And I am sitting next to, also, across... Oh, is that across from?
Yes.
Chuck Salvatore. Uh-oh. What is this?
Your intro
this
music.
This is Chuck Salvatore.
This is Chuck Salvatore music.
Or
the
theme from...
Class music.
Debbie no. Does Dallas. Close.
Fine. Or the theme from Boiling Water with Batali.
Or what's better... Oh.
That's what it is.
He used porn music?
Yes.
Oh, what a shocker.
Yes.
From Jimmy the Hat.
Yes, of course.
Porn music in our music video.
Because that's where I knew it from. I didn't know it from anything else.
Because someone told you it was porn.
No, I knew it from Boiling Water.
You knew it was... No, but someone must have saw the video and said, what's with the porn music?
Someone did. Actually, Kyle Bloyd did,
I think. Oh, Kyle... Well, now we know what Kyle Bloyd does.
Absolutely. Not anymore. He's got a girlfriend.
He's been enjoying a little Debbie Does Dale.
Dude, his external's got a lot of spank bank material.
So what's better for Chuck, though? Debbie Does Dallas or Nice and Sleazy Does It? This is like the Star Wars of... porn theme.
The John Williams.
I've never seen you here before.
Wow, you've got that Yoda down. That is actually pretty good.
Oh,
thank you.
So, Charles, you got any great stories for us? Like, I don't know.
I want you to fuck my babies.
Anything like that?
No fucking titties have I done.
Wow.
I think you are not.
Are you sure you're not a Muppet?
You're going to hear me cough a lot because between smoking and the weather changing, I'm dying. I always get sick when the weather changes.
Everybody
like
does.
Two
allergies are really
screwed
up right
now. Yeah, except it's for 2 months, and then you make fun of me when I think I have cancer. Because that's real fucking
funny.
Only
because you were coughing for like 3 weeks, and you're like... You guys are going to think it's funny when I have cancer. And I looked at Len and I'm like, I probably will chuckle.
Oh, I remember.
You know what?
And
I want you to spank my boobies.
Spank those boobies.
Like that to you.
Oh, the live studio audience is loving it. They're loving it. Good to see you all here tonight, by the way. Good to see the whole live studio audience intact tonight.
That's the last time I'll get an applause like that.
Well, you know what? You know what? The good news is Chuck and Steve are singing. I was worried because, Lee can't unfortunately sit in tonight. Oh, well, come on. Stop, people. Stop. Lee will be back tomorrow. Oh, come on. Come on! Ew,
wait. Did Pat DiStefano pay off the audience?
Yes, it must be.
Wow. That's funny.
Caesar told me to keep it clean.
Did I say something I wasn't supposed to?
Caesar says we need to keep it clean tonight, which means I'm going to play some Dirty Pimp.
Get real filthy. You know it wasn't clean up all night. If up all night can be dirty, how come we can't?
Oh yeah, up all night was a little
up
dirty.
All night with
what was her name? Rhonda.
Oh no, I'm talking about the new Christina Applegate.
Christina Applegate.
But Rhonda Shear.
Never mind.
You're talking about Rhonda Shear.
Oh no,
who had a show also called Up All Night?
We just watched shortly before we watched the new show Up All Night. First minute. Christina Miller.
Oh, yes. I'll take a lap dance while Steve talks. Continue.
Yeah, they were swearing first, like, minute or two. Like,
yeah, they were swearing the last minute or two,
that's
too.
That's true, too. Yeah, that's true.
You know what? Here's a clip from the show, actually. This is a clip from Up All Night.
I want you to watch me how I do it with my vibrator inside my ass.
NBC, folks.
NBC.
NBC. Yeah, yeah. And here's Christina Applegate in the first scene of the show.
I want you to fuck my titties.
It's a crude little show, that Up All Night.
Didn't she have breast cancer?
I'm being serious. I don't know. You may have heard an S. I thought it said, fuck my titty. I'm just kidding. Oh, my God.
That's pretty funny.
Sorry.
There goes the NBC advertising on the show.
Oh, yeah, because Whitney was going to advertise on here real soon.
You know, I'm bad luck on radio shows lately.
That is true.
Whitney is the Debbie Does Dallas of class on network television. So,
and Matt hates me because I find Whitney funny.
So I want to get to my first interview. I had an interview earlier today with Rod Lurie. The film is Straw Dogs. We have Peter Tolan on later as well, and Bruce Fretz, and Chuck's here to talk to Peter Tolan about his anal beads again or whatever
it is that they discuss, anal beads or what have you.
It's Dirty Thursdays here over at
Dirty Thursdays.
You know, my sister
drinks are $2.
My sister told me it was Jersdays because Jersey Shore's on the night.
Yes.
And then I punched her and left.
Oh, you punched your sister.
No, I didn't punch my sister.
Oh, this show is a It, this show is all class all the time.
She actually made a very good dinner tonight.
Caesar goes, you're making fart jokes and tit talk for a show with Tolan and Lurie. You mean the same Peter Tolan that calls everyone a cunt?
You know, Peter Tolan dropped his pants in front of everybody.
The same Peter Tolan that used the word cunt at the Rescue Me series finale party last week.
That one, yes.
Numerous times,
that
I'm
one,
sure.
Yes.
Well, he called Dennis Leary a cunt, is what I'm told.
Says it to everyone he
in
loves.
In a good way.
In a good way.
Hey, I got that.
You got called a cunt
right.
as well. That's
so,
right.
Okay, that's good news.
Right.
So I want to play this Rod Lurie interview.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry.
That wasn't even the soundboard. I wish it was.
Well, good thing we have a full guest list for September because we have none in October.
Oh, yeah.
We're not getting any.
We'll give you a lot of things you will never forget.
Well, thank
yes,
you.
Yes, please. Oh,
yes, all right. Anyways, Straw Dogs, I saw it yesterday. I'm not supposed to talk about it. It was great. I liked it a lot. I think Rod did a really good job with doing a remake. I don't even know if it's a remake as much as a retelling. Kate Bosworth was actually very good. I've never been wowed by Kate Bosworth's work, and she's very good in the flick.
Seen two of her movies.
Superman.
Superman Returns.
And you didn't like that one.
Or
huh?
What was that Crush movie, the surfing movie?
Blue Crush.
Blue Crush, yeah.
Well, I mean, Blue Crush, it is what it is. And what did you think of Superman? Because I know you love Superman.
I do. I wanted to like it.
Yeah, boring, right?
Yeah, there were like two scenes in it that are pretty good.
And there was like no ending. The airplane thing, that's
yeah,
it? Really?
It was bad.
Bad movie. But any Hoosiers, Kate Bosworth's really good in this. James Marsden's really good in this. Alexander Skarsgård's going to be a big star. But for me, the performance was Jimmy Woods, who, by the way, this is the meanest, angriest, craziest Jimmy Woods I may have ever seen. He's drunk and manic the whole movie.
You sold me. I want to see it.
Yeah, he's like beating up retards during the movie. I'm not kidding.
No,
that's
really
not a joke.
Wow.
Nick saw it with me, and he can confirm retard beatings do go down.
He's shaking his head.
Yes,
no.
He does. He beat them up at the football thing. They have the picnic thing, the pep rally or whatever. Beats the crap out of them.
Whatever.
For those of you listening, Nick just said, are you allowed to talk about that?
Yeah. Well, you know.
So I actually really do want to say it's a really good movie. For our 5,000 to 10,000 listeners that we have, I hope you all go see it. And I'm going to play this interview with the very classy Rod Lurie, so no fart jokes or booby jokes for about an hour and a half. No, I think the interview is 15 minutes. No, it's funny. Here we go. Here's Rod Lurie on the show.
Hello.
Hello. Is Rod there?
Yes, Rod is there.
Oh, this is Rod. Hi, this is Matthew Aaron.
This is Matthew Aaron himself.
This is himself. How you doing?
Hey, man. How are you doing?
I am actually doing very well. I saw your flick last night.
Yeah. What do you think?
I'm a fan.
Great.
I got to tell you something. I saw the original Straw Dogs not so long ago, a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I'm getting from this one. And this is why I'm going to recommend this to a lot of people. it is not the original movie.
No.
I've been reading the reviews on the internet and stuff, and a lot of people are trying to compare it to the Peckinpah original. And I guess that's my first question for you. How do you feel about those comparisons, and do you feel like, what did you do to set out to make it different?
Are we on the air already?
No, I'm going to tape this.
Oh, you're going to tape it. Okay, well, yeah. you know, Matthew, the minute that I announced that I was making this film, they came after me, right? I mean, everybody on Earth was, had already made a predetermination that the movie was going to be terrible, that it couldn't possibly be as good as Peckinpah. How dare I? You know, he's turning in his grave. And here's the truth, man. Nobody's painting a mustache on the Mona Lisa, right? I mean, if you want to go see the original Straw Dogs, it's still there. In fact, the release of my film prompted a Blu-ray release of his film.
Mm-hmm.
So the Peckinpah estate will be doing much better now, and I'm sure everyone's very happy. And in a way, everybody wins. I mean, nobody's tampering with anything. And all that I was trying to do when I was remaking this film was putting my own spin on the same story.
Yeah.
You know, I ran into Dustin Hoffman at a Golden Globes party, and this was before I'd made the final decision to direct this film. And he says to me, you know, Rod, Straw Dogs is a Western. It's a scary Western. And if you have that in mind, you're going to do great. You know, just put your own spin on it. And, in the end, it was Dustin that convinced me to make this film.
And we love Dustin Hoffman here. I actually am a friend of his niece's, and he's a great guy.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you, though, Rod, what you did differently here, which is, I thought, fantastic,
mm-hmm.
is you made this about society, in my mind,
right. mm-hmm.
and how society and what you're surrounded by socially. I mean, this is a great sociology movie.
Hey, man, we are saying it's a great thriller and go and have a great goddamn time at the movies.
Yes.
You know, this is not Broccoli, this movie. You know, it's
no.
this,
no.
you know, this. But it is, but I think that you're right, and what you're saying is exactly my point, Matthew, which is that Peckinpah made a film that said that man is violent by nature and that's it, and we better be careful about it. And all that I'm saying is that we're conditioned to being violent.
Yeah.
And that's very I believe that's what I believe to be true anyway.
Well, I did want to tell you, I think you got the best performances of their careers out of these actors, James Marsden and Kate Bosworth. And I think Kate Bosworth, this movie proved to me a lot about her, and she's Oscar bait in the future. I got to tell you.
Well, you know, I tweeted once that I think within 5 years, she's going to have an Oscar nomination. And it really is a matter of the roles that she chooses and the roles that she's selected for. She has the entire skill set to be masterful, and she's just great in this film.
Yeah.
She's vulnerable. She's a feminist. She's fierce. It's it's very entertaining, and I think she completely pulls it off. But I wouldn't say that I got the performances out of the actors. You know, I gave them the room to do their thing, and you know, they pulled it off beautifully, I think.
Well, that's very nice of you. the thing about Kate's performance that I think is great is watch her eyes. When mm-hmm. she acts,
it was different colored eyes.
Oh my God, her eyes though, but they tell the story. Like
right.
that's how you know she's such a good actress. She's in the moment and she's listening. She's listening to everything James Marsden or whatever character she's on screen with is doing, and she's in that moment. And it's,
yeah. mm-hmm.
she's really fantastic.
Yeah, at the end of the movie, yeah. There's this unbelievable siege, and the last look you see on her. Is it's bravura acting, and
yep.
She can tell a million words with her eyes. So here she is at the end. The last half hour is all action, and here she is within an action sequence, you know, acting her ass off, and so does Marsden, and so does the great Swede Alexander Skarsgård.
Yeah, he is the great Swede. You know, I did not know, Rod, how many fans he had, and
it's crazy.
He was great. He was great, too, like really good. And he gave kind of this, like, you know, he's a I guess he's a bad guy. Yeah. But like there are some moments where he's human.
Everybody says that, man. And that's what's great about his acting, about his performance is that, you know, he really has his reasons, the character. Right. He has his reasons. And then, you know, and I forget who it was. Maybe it was Hitchcock. Probably not. You know, that's a go-to guy when you're having movie quotations. But somebody once said that villains have to have their reasons. And if you can remember that, you make a great villain. So what he told me was that he saw this as a love story. You know, this Marsden comes back into town with Bosworth. You know, she used to live there. It was his girlfriend. He wants her back. She's with the wrong guy. It's a love story. You know, you could make this Sweet Home. You remember that movie Sweet Home Alabama?
Yeah.
She comes home and she ends up back with the old boyfriend, you know, because he's, you know, more of a real man or he's more down to earth or whatever. And for a long time, this film, you don't quite know who to root for. It only becomes sort of clear in the second half, the dividing line between the good and the bad in this film.
Well, I just think it's great, too, that you casted James Woods because I think he's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And he's such a good actor. He knows exactly what to do at the right moment, and he scares the shit out of you.
Well, you know, Roger Ebert today in his review said, you know, said a lot of really nice things about the film, but one of the things that really touched my heart was he said that James Woods, who's been scary in the past, has never been scarier. And I think that's right. I mean, it's a, you know, he's a top-notch villain, and, you know, I'm completely impressed by, absolutely impressed by him, you know, and he's a fun guy to work with. A little out of his mind, but he's fun.
That's the rumor, but you know what I love? I got to tell you, Rod, my favorite moment of the film comes at the football game. Mm-hmm. It's the Friday Night Lights, if you will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You filmed this. You and who is the director of photography on this film?
Alex Sakharov is his name. He was the DP for The Sopranos.
Okay. Oh,
and Rome.
Oh, so, wow. Okay. Yeah. So this thing was beautiful, this football game. And the great thing about this scene, and tell me if you were going for this, is this scene basically the whole story in like one scene?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, it's what you have here, and by the way, what you have here is a sport that is defined by violence, which in and of itself isn't so bad. I'm a gigantic football fan. You know, I'm nuts for football. But, you know, in that same town, people go hunting for a living, and they go to church and hear about a righteous God who will smite people from the earth. And so, you know, they're accustomed to violence in their everyday lives. And so, you know, it's what we were talking about, you know, about earlier. It's about the conditioning to, you know, to violence, and it's really shown in that football game, I think.
Yeah, I think that is the scene of the movie in my mind. I mean, obviously, the crowd was going nuts the last 20, 25 minutes of the film.
Yeah, so you saw it with a big crowd, right?
I saw it. We had a critic screening, but then there was a crowd around us.
Right.
So it was kind of funny because they put us in the middle of the crowd, you know?
Oh, really? Okay, that's smart.
They were going nuts, Rod.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, the reaction for this film when I saw it, if you can see this movie opening weekend with a packed house, go see it. Because it's a lot of, I hate to use the word fun, too.
Yeah.
But, like, it's one of those movies that gets you, because the difference between Peckinpah and this movie is there's a little humanity in this movie. You kind of feel for the characters like you don't in the Peckinpah. And you kind of want to be an optimist about this movie. I can kind of feel that with you here.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I definitely view myself as optimistic. Now, look, here's the thing about Peckinpah. There's a difference between being brilliant and being a genius, okay? Brilliant people work, filmmakers work magnificently well within a genre. But the genius creates the genre. And I think that Peckinpah created a genre with The Wild Bunch.
Yeah.
And actually with some earlier films as well. He is the ultimate auteur. You can tell a Peckinpah film is a Peckinpah film just within watching 1 minute of it. The same way that you can tell that a film is directed by Sergio Leone, for example, or Quentin Tarantino, you know. So he's a genius. But, you know, we simply have a different attitude about humanity. We have a different attitude about violence. We have a different attitude about masculinity. And, you know, we're both fairly masculine guys, I would say. So, you know, I don't have a beef with him. I just have a difference of opinion with him.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's it. And that is what I think gets the movie theater as into it as they were yesterday, though, is there's that humanity and they're feeling for these characters and they feel connected. The Peckinpah version kind of just leaves you there kind of stunned and feeling like, kind of like Old Boy in a way, where you're at the end and you're like, oh, God, that happened.
Right.
But this one, you want Marsden. You love the psychological warfare. You want this all to go down. You want it so bad. And I think you do that really well. And the final thing I have to say about your directing of this film was I took with me – I asked for a plus one because I wanted to take with me somebody younger – who would be completely unbiased about the whole thing, and they absolutely loved it. It was a 21-year-old, absolutely loved your film.
Right.
The pacing was right on.
Right.
He loved the acting, and he loved the writing, and I really have to accredit that to you. I'm telling you, people are going to really like this film.
Yeah, I really agree, and I hope a lot of people are listening to you right now, you know, because it's a film that's, you know, very dear to my heart, obviously. But you know what? In the end, an audience wants to know that they're going to go to a movie and have a great time, you know. And so the ladies who are listening to this, you know, bring your man because you're going to want him to hold him. And men, you want your lady to hold you through the movie. It's a scary movie. It's a thriller. It's very entertaining. And in the end, it is definitely a provocation, but one that I think is artful.
Yes, actually, I need someone to hold me during the movie. But
okay, well, you know.
I really appreciate you doing this. I would love, when this all clears down for you, where you don't have any restrictions, I'd love for you to come do the show. We do. We usually do about a 45-minute to hour like retrospective of who we have on, and you have such an amazing career.
Sure,
and,
yeah, I'd love to come down. Yeah, where are you guys located?
Well, we're in Chicago, but I'm moving to L.A. actually in a month and a half, November.
Oh, really?
You know,
and you're bringing your show with you.
I am bringing the show with me. Yeah,
that's very cool. Yeah,
I'd love to have you because I love your career. I thought The Contender one of the best movies of the decade.
Thank you.
You're fantastic, Rod. Thank you so much for everything.
Yeah.
This will air tonight.
Okay, great.
And I'm going to air it tomorrow as well.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you write reviews?
I usually just do them on the air. I write sometimes for our website, and that's about it. Because I'm a screenwriter too, I try not to like look. I've had people on our show where I have to tell them their movies stink, and that.
Right. No, you've never said that.
Yeah, I have. I'm very honest about this stuff. So I try not to write reviews because I don't want to piss too many people off. But this film's a good one. So I was sitting there in the theater. I'm like, oh, God, please be good. And it was.
Okay, excellent. Well, perfect. Okay, man. Thank you so much.
Rod, thank you so much. And hopefully we can do something in the future on the interview front.
Absolutely. Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Okay,
yes.
So I'm back.
You're back. Hello.
Boy, I hate myself the more I listen to me. Let me tell you, though.
Well, that's good.
Rod Lurie, all class. I do want to thank Amanda Weir, and Sarah Smith from Allied Integrated Marketing for hooking us up with the screening and
Absolutely.
Helping us out with Rod. And
many thanks to
the
them.
The film is very good, and Rod is just a great dude. A great dude.
Can't wait to go see it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, it is a movie that has some of it all in it. It's a character film the first hour, and the last hour it's horror, it's thriller, it's suspense, it's all sorts of things. So it's a really good movie. And if you like the original, and if you're a big Peckinpah fan, just realize this is not Peckinpah, this is a retelling. Peckinpah based the original movie off a story anyways.
Right.
So wasn't he remaking too or whatever, retelling?
All been retold.
Look.
It really has.
Look, my feeling on remakes is this. I'm not a huge fan, but when done right and told a different way like this one was, they can be very good. And
Absolutely.
I think Rod did a very good job. And Kate Bosworth, as I said, and Alexander Skarsgård, James Marsden, Jimmy Woods, all very, very good in the film. So I do want to thank everyone at Sony and everyone involved. And I'm glad I liked it.
I'm glad, too.
Because I probably would have said
a few other words, mayhaps.
I hope I didn't scare Rod when I said that I've given out bad reviews in front of people.
I don't think
so.
I just
feel like you should be honest. I'm mean about it.
No, you're not.
Like when we had Missy Pyle on, I wasn't mean about it.
No.
About Home Alone 4.
Oh, yeah. No, no. She was actually very. I think she knows.
She kind of knew. She kind of knew. I just don't think anyone told her.
Oh.
Here's the thing. I just don't know why people don't tell people. Just be honest with each other. Like, you're not going to like everything a company does.
Dude.
Not every move a company makes, and you say, I didn't like that move. But I guess some people get pretty offended.
Yes, people. I mean, I would do that, but then that's why I'm in your basement. I mean.
That's true.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why we haven't been promoted.
Right. Well,
least the kitchen.
To at least the kitchen. Or I just want, like, janitor.
We're not nice enough.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, last time I was on the air, we did it in the backyard.
Now, oh, did we do it in the backyard?
No. Did it in the backyard.
There we go. Did the
I said
podcast.
5 minutes to clean this.
We did the podcast
yes, we
in
did.
The backyard.
Oh, we shot, though.
No,
we had
a, yeah,
but
we
I
had
mean,
to
last
have
time
a
I was on, last time I was on the radio, oh. I did the podcast in a backyard, and I got sunburned.
You did podcast in a backyard?
Well, for the sports show.
Tell
oh
us about it.
God. Sportsline.
Yeah.
Are you still on that show?
No, I'm not.
It's not a good show.
No.
Is it because Chuck's not on it, or is it just was always not a good show?
It was
show?
A great show when Charles was
okay.
on, when they let him talk for the
Let's
2 minutes.
Let's just say I can give you 1,005 reasons why I'm not on that show.
1,005, huh?
Here, yeah. Here's what my review is of Sportsline now. That's what it is. Oh, and that's my other review. And that's my other review. On the other hand, though,
really loud.
On the other hand, though, my review of Straw Dog.
Yay. Oh, that's good.
Which Roger Ebert gave 3.5 stars.
That's good for him.
So I'm expecting Peter Tolan to call in any moment, unless he heard the beginning and was outraged.
Outraged.
Such,
I don't think he would be.
Cool in the gangness.
I'm going to roll the dice.
And then we'll be hearing from Bruce Fretz as well.
Well, but you know Bruce wasn't offended.
No.
No.
Oh, once again, can I preface myself by saying I totally went into Straw Dogs open-minded.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. I think people should do that.
That's good because most of the remakes are pretty bad.
Yeah. And
like
this
I,
one
I
wasn't.
Saw the, I saw the trailer for the Footloose remake.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, that looks terrible.
Oh,
but
God.
You know what I don't mind, though, about this remake, too, is Straw Dogs wasn't a hit to begin with. No one's seen it. Have you seen it, Chuck?
Nope.
No, it's not like the remaking Star
yeah,
Wars.
Yeah, but
people.
Judging movies on what I've seen and what I haven't seen, not a good idea.
That's true. That's true.
I haven't seen a lot.
When you've seen only Debbie Does Dallas. And
knew the music right away for that, huh?
Yeah.
Knew it right away.
Oh,
no,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
funny.
Well, that's good.
That
so,
happened.
So now that we did that,
yes. What's so funny?
Oh, my pussy's getting so wet.
Oh, is that true?
It's getting so wet.
Well, get a towel.
Jesus.
I would suggest a towel for that.
Can't we be a little classier on this program?
You tell me. Let me
so
know.
So, Steve, what's going on?
Dry it up
life?
When I... Hmm?
Oh.
I'll give a full review of Straw Dogs tomorrow, by the way.
Beautiful.
When I can give a full review.
Yes.
Look, Rod Lurie asked me what I thought. Was I supposed to sit there and not say...
I would not lie. No, tell him what you thought.
Sorry, Rod. I'm under restricting orders. I cannot give a
Listen,
review until Friday.
It's like you said earlier, though. Like you said earlier.
Roger Ebert released his review today. There was
yeah.
a review from the Miami Herald like a week ago. So if you're going to blame me, they better be banned, too.
No, then yeah. Well,
they're on
I
the ban list too.
All banned. I would hope. No, I don't know. I don't think you did anything wrong. You liked it. Gave it. Even if you didn't like it, yeah, I don't think you'd be rude. Even if you gave a bad review.
I don't think that'd be rude. But
no.
Well, they think it's the business thinks
it's rude.
Oh. This is the business we're going into, so we better play ball.
Get me my bat and glove.
Yeah. Speaking of playing ball, you were watching some NBC sitcoms tonight. And you realize yeah. what ball entails.
I certainly do realize
that. Oh, and
that.
Speaking of NBC sitcoms, who's calling? Yeah, hello, you're on
hello.
The Matthew Aaron Show. Who am I speaking with?
This might be Peter Tolan.
It might be Peter Tolan. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing all right. We were just talking about Straw Dogs and NBC sitcoms. There's a combo.
Well, there's a good combination, yeah.
Well, I had Rod Lurie on this afternoon. I taped an interview with him, and we were talking about Straw Dogs, which I surprisingly enjoyed, and there was some good acting in it. But
did you feel it was necessary to, having seen it, was it necessary to remake Straw Dogs?
My thought on it was I could see if... If you're a film geek, you've seen Straw Dogs, and you liked it, and you loved it, and Peckinpah, and it's great, and everything. But there's a ton of people that haven't seen the original, so I wasn't really offended that it was remade. I usually am, but in this case, it was kind of like, okay. And he did something very different with it. Now, I don't know if people... This is a very... humanitarian version of Straw Dogs. There's some optimism in it. It's not quite the Peckinpah people are evil and people are going to kill people and that's the end of the deal and you don't really care about anyone. This one has some humanity in it.
Well, I'm going to do it as with actual dogs. So I'm thinking that's the way to go.
I think that is the way to go. Do it with actual dogs.
Actual strong
so,
dogs.
So, Peter, just so you know, I'm seeing you're my writing partner, Steve.
Hello, Peter. Steve Weirich here.
And you may remember Chuck from his anal beads when he called in last time you were on.
Oh, so, sure.
Yeah,
hello. Can I tell you that Matt introduces me like that at parties now? This is Chuck. Him and Peter Tolan talked about Chuck's anal beads.
That happened.
Wow.
Oh, that happens.
Well, yeah, it does happen. I mean, who should be ashamed of this kind of thing?
I don't think so. I don't think there is
any.
I don't think there is any for that. No, Chuck has no shame, so it's okay.
No, none at all.
So, Peter, I kind of want to wait for Bruce Brett to talk about Rescue Me, but he's watching Project Runway at the moment, so he'll be a few minutes.
Is that what he's seriously doing?
Yes, Peter, that is what he's seriously doing.
Wow.
I can't make that up.
Boy, that job's got to hurt sometimes.
Actually, he enjoys the show, Peter.
Okay. Well, you know, I guess, you know, to be honest, I've never watched it,
yeah.
Although I have watched RuPaul's Drag Race once or twice.
And how that...
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good answer.
Wait.
Yeah.
RuPaul's a studio head one day.
So yeah.
No pun intended.
From the gist of the trailers, you get the gist. You don't even need to divulge anymore. You get it from the commercial.
Well, you know, not his demo.
Yeah, right.
Shocking, not his demo.
That's a Peter Tolan demo. But
you don't know. You don't know, guys, really.
That's true. That's true. I do not know what you do behind closed doors.
Right.
And that's the way it should be. This is America, damn it.
Yeah.
I do want to tell you, well, we might as well get out our thoughts about Rescue Me, though. Great season. I'm glad I waited to talk to you until the whole season passed. You did it. Dude, it was really fucking good. That's about all I can tell you. I can't even divulge, like, okay, first of all, the work that John Skurdy did this year was phenomenal.
Yeah.
He probably won't get nominated for an Emmy, but he should.
Yeah, that's true.
And Callie Thorne was fantastic as usual, and Dennis was great. And you guys ended the series on a really, really high note with those last two episodes, which were the last three episodes, which
mm-hmm.
were great. I got to tell you, my favorite scene from the finale, though, I'm going to go with the ashes just for comedy's sake, but the blue shovel world is pretty great, too. Did you write those scenes with Dennis? Because I know you were credited as a writer on the... What, did you guys, like, write it together? How'd the finale go?
Yeah, I think, you know, by that time, we were really, even if we didn't all get credited, we were all writing as a group. Now, when I say all, I just mean the three of us. I mean Dennis and I and Evan. So all of us were writing various things, and we split it up. But I know something tells me, as I remember, that I may have written the... Well, first of all, Dennis and I know Dennis and I were sitting together, and I was pitching out that idea. I started with the idea of how do I get the ashes to open in the car, and then I just remember making that with my hands. Just the idea of suddenly just a car filling with ashes, just like that explosion that just covers the interior windshield like in an instant, which our special effects guy was able to do perfectly. So, you know, it's all just conversation, and then we split it up. But I know that I wrote some of the – because I used to handle a lot of the – not that people didn't take different things, but I know that I would write some of the more comedic scenes. And so I know that I wrote probably the first draft of the – I know I wrote the first draft of Inside the Truck and The Side of the Road. And then obviously directed the episode, so – you know, it's just, but that was a lot of conversation between Dennis and I, as I remember, especially the scene with the ashes and stuff.
Yes.
You know, that's just a lot of ad-libbing back and forth and coming up with that stuff. So it was, you know, just great.
Yeah, no, I really, now the Blue Shovel World, though, was that based off an experience you or Dennis actually had? How did that come up?
I don't think so. I don't think it was an experience. We just figured what would be the... I think Dennis had come up with the idea of him saying, "Well, here's what I'm gonna embrace being a dad, and I'm gonna take my kids to the park. You know, that's how I'm gonna do it." And so that's how that whole idea came about, and then we just wrote it from there.
Oh, that was a hilarious scene, Chuck. What was your favorite part of that up?
Probably the ashes scene, and then obviously after that, the funeral when they dump the cake mix into the river.
Yeah.
And the cousin's like, ashes are supposed to be gray. That's amazing.
You know, I had a theory we talked about. We filmed a tribute episode to you the other day that we're now and we're playing next month. But we filmed one, and I was talking about Robert John Burke, and he is so funny while being a minimalist, actor. That's what's great about him. He has that Clint Eastwood style, but he's so fucking funny. He's great on that show.
He is great. I just, you know, obviously we went and we had we didn't have a premiere this year. We had a finale event, so we did have an event in New York the night that the show aired. And we were really looking forward to it. Dennis and I were, because we knew we were going to get to see that scene with the ashes in front of an audience of about 1,000 people. And of course, you didn't hear one line of that scene, not a line of it, because people laughed through the entire length of it.
That's good.
So it was really, you know, that's really satisfying when that sort of thing happens. And you know, people were into it. But it's funny because I said to Dennis, because you know, we shot that thing a long time ago, and we did a reshoot of, not of the entire scene, but of the last scene with the Probies at the Rock. We did a reshoot of a little bit of the interior of the scene. But that was also, you know, that was maybe almost a year ago. So the episode has been out of our hands for a long time. So we really were watching it almost like regular audience members because we'd forgotten what was in it. And even I was like kind of thinking, what? I wonder how we get out of this lewd thing at the beginning. I don't remember. Because I remember when that weird switch at the top of the episode where it's Lou, Lou's the only survivor, and then what you find out, of course, is that he's the one who died.
Yeah.
That was something I pitched to the network when we sold the show 7 years ago. I said, I just have this vision of, you know, at one point we'll lose a guy, and this is how we'll show it. You know, we'll show the guy going back to the firehouse and cleaning out everybody's locker, and, you know, and I had the whole thing, and we just never got to use it until the finale, which is odd. And I remember when I first pitched it, it went so far as the guy would go to the firehouse and clean out the lockers, and then he would take everybody's name off the duty roster and, you know, do all these things around the firehouse. And then he would just leave for the day and he'd sort of walk out the bay doors into the bright light, as it were. And then you'd hear the bagpipes and you'd be actually at a funeral and you'd see all the guys. And they'd be sort of looking over this casket. You'd see the headstone and that person's name would be on it. So in a way, I think I went back in my head and I thought, is that how this ends? I didn't remember, so it was kind of fun that way. But afterwards, Dennis and I said, what were you thinking when you were watching that? Or he said, what were you thinking? And I said, I was thinking what I cut. And he said, yeah, me too. So no. I guess you don't ever, like, you know, get to enjoy it. You're more thinking, oh, shit, do we really need that? We could have cut that, you know.
Well, tons of people did enjoy it, though. That's the good news.
Yeah.
Writing partner Steve never saw the show before. And I don't know, this was kind of a sin on my part, but I said, watch the finale with me. It's kind of weird. Watch the last show first.
Yeah.
But, Steve, what did you think of the show when you watched the finale the first time? First time you ever seen Rescue Me?
I was impressed because I'm like, wow, they're taking a rather serious topic and making it funny. A lot funnier than I thought it would be, to be honest.
Yeah.
Not bad way. It's just fire department and fires and, well, there's a lot of funny to it. And I was engaged the entire time. It was actually, commercials pissed me off because I'm like, well, come on. I don't want these commercials.
All the BMWs?
Well, yeah. That,
the
yeah.
BMW, if Tommy drives a Dodge, the show is presented by BMW, and Dennis Leary's doing Ford commercials.
Yeah.
Car business often?
Doesn't make any sense.
No.
Well, and considering I'll never own a BMW, like, I was trying to enjoy some Rescue Me, and they're waving BMWs in my face. But
I know. I don't have to tell you. It's very wrong.
Well, at least we agree on that. It was really, really good, and I enjoyed it. And maybe I should just watch it from backwards.
I might watch it backwards?
I might just do
that. Is it Memento?
I do write everything down, but I'm not as good looking as that guy.
No. No, you are not.
No.
You're like Joey Pants if he ate that guy. Then you're that guy.
Yes, absolutely.
Chuck and I, though, had one gripe, Peter.
Okay.
One gripe. We need to get this out here.
Got it.
That is the quickest birth delivery scene I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, you know, in retrospect, I would say, well, first of all, there are such things. There aren't such things as women who give birth very quickly. I mean, that does happen. Maybe it shouldn't happen during the course of a series finale. I mean, that may be one of the problems. But you know, it just that was a scene that maybe, and you know, keep in mind we had the fucking ashes scene, which at least was different. You know.
Oh yeah.
But it just seemed a little. I don't know. I mean, it had a story point, I guess, but it just seemed a little slapsticky to me. And, you know, and then one of the things that I know Dennis and I talked about was, why did we have him say, you know, you're going to faint? Because then the audience is just sitting there going, all right, when's he going to faint? You know, it's just like, oh, boy. So that was, we sort of felt like we could have maybe done that differently.
Well, you did set it up in the previous episode with the wedding, and they had the whole thing where Dennis faints at big moments. So.
Yeah, I know, but the thing is that's true. But you know that there's I don't know. I guess I'll just chalk it up to an ego there. The assumption is that the audience has watched that other episode. Now,
yeah.
maybe that's the case. But you know, FX gave us some research several years ago about the viewing habits of the audience that said something like, you know, major fans of the show. We'll watch like 2 episodes a season.
Yikes.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
That's ridiculous.
No such, you know, the person, you know, first of all, if I see Dennis Leary, if I'm a person, I see Dennis Leary on the street, I go, hey, Dennis, I love the show. I watch every episode.
Yeah.
No, you don't. You don't watch it.
DVRs, people would be watching every episode.
All right, now I feel weird, though. Am I like a weirdo because I watch every episode of every show?
We've literally seen every episode because we have them all on DVD.
I can't believe if I miss an episode of something I like.
Yeah.
Well, that's very, you know, that seems very old school to me. I don't, you know, the idea that you would, you know, watch, you know, that much of a show. I guess, I don't know.
So what's the point of serializing?
Aren't you supposed to be the young people? What's that?
Yeah, I am young. I'm 28. What's the point of serializing?
I know. That's true. I mean, that's why there's no. That's why people don't want you to do stuff that's serialized, because they claim that the viewing habits of the audience don't support it.
That's why CSI and all that stuff is probably so popular for that reason.
Exactly. You don't have to watch everyone and stuff.
Oh, great.
Speaking of the ending, though, you kind of briefly touched on a bit when you had Dennis talking to the Probries. That was also the first scene in the very first episode. What
Correct.
Made you want to bring that back or full circle or whatever?
Are you saying we've seen all the episodes, Chuck?
Yes, we have.
So that was
you just wanted to bring it full circle, Peter? Is that what you were trying to do?
I think so. I think that was our decision at a certain point. And, you know, the idea that Tommy's still haunted, but by a friendly ghost, as it were, as a Casper, you know.
Yeah.
That Lou is, you know,
that was
friendly,
good.
Somebody he wants to see. So it shows some sort of positive change, I guess, for Tommy.
Yeah, and you know what else I was going to ask you? What other endings were you thinking about? Were there other endings?
Yeah, we had some, but, you know, these were ones that we had over the years.
Yeah, anything good? Anything juicy?
Not juicy. I mean, you know, I would say atmospheric. How's that? One was Tommy goes into a fire, and I think some stuff had happened. I can't remember exactly what the pitch was for this, but some stuff had happened, and he was, you know, in dire straits, and he goes into a fire and just sort of sits down in the middle of a burning room and sits down in a chair in the middle of this room. And that's the end of the show. So the assumption is that he is going to die in this fire by his own choice. And I remember talking to Dennis about it and saying, boy, I don't know how we're gonna do this. What is the message that we're giving there? And I think he was saying, he was sort of couching it that it was an honorable thing for Tommy to do because, you know, then his family would get his benefits and, you know, they'd sort of be taken care of in a way that he maybe hadn't been able to take care of them in life.
Right.
That was one possibility. Then we were going to do a possibility where, you know, he ends up with Maura Tierney's character at the end. That at the end of the series, he's with her instead of with Janet. And you think, and I don't know, again, none of this was good because it wasn't necessarily thought out well. But he would, you seem to be very happy and things would be okay. And, you know, he sort of goes down to the water's edge and just swims out to sea. You don't even know, you know, that's it. I mean, he's sort of like, you think he's going to kill himself by just swimming out to sea. So that was the other one. And both of these, we were sort of talked out of by John Landgraf, who said, I don't think that's going to be satisfying to an audience, which is very true.
Yeah.
So we, you know, I don't think, and these were things that we were discussing, you know, season five. You know, we were like, yeah, well, someday we're going to end this thing. What do you think? And so it wasn't like serious, you know, it wasn't like we thought, well, this would be interesting and it would certainly, you know, whatever. But ultimately, you know, you start to think about the series. You go, well, what's the premise of the series is, will a guy who survives 9/11 ultimately survive it or not, right? And if you say no to that, that's not a real good message, you know. That's not a, you're not saying to your audience, hey, thanks for sticking around for 7 years. Here's the ending we like, and I hope you do. Life is futile. Which
yeah.
isn't the case. What happens in life is most people eventually move. You have no choice in life except to move forward, you know. So they figure out a way to move forward. And Tommy does too in a small, you know, incremental ways, given that it's him. But, you know, he does sort of figure out a way to live.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to have ended it. I mean, I heard rumors. When did we hear these rumors, Chuck? Like 2 years ago when Tommy gets shot, they'd come back as a ghost?
Yeah.
Was there any truth to that? Was that even an idea floated?
No, okay. Never. We were never going to do like a trick. And I know people were saying something about, people would posit all these things, like, you know, that he had actually died in 9/11, and this whole thing was, you know, in his dying moments, it was, this is what he was looking back on or thinking about. I don't know, something like that.
But that's
such a huge schmuck bait that you can't. We didn't want to do that.
But that was a great part of the show, is that so many great characters and actors died that you never really were sure as
yeah,
an audience
well,
member.
And wasn't it
yeah.
even Jack McGee wasn't too happy he died? Is that wasn't that
no,
the?
That's true. Yeah,
yeah, I heard he was a little miffed at that.
Yeah, he was. Jack was not happy.
Yeah, well,
but he, you know. I mean, I just saw Jack actually about 2 months ago, and he's made his peace with the whole thing. I mean, he was just, you know, just upset about it, but he's you know what, he did very well to Rescue Me. Rescue Me actually helped him career wise. He got a lot more interesting work. You know, he was in that what was the movie?
Fighter, the Fighter,
the Fighter. He was in the Fighter and stuff like
yeah.
that. And I can't say that that's a direct thing from Rescue Me, but, you know, he's got a lot of work after Rescue Me. So
well,
since then he has thanked, you know, he's thanked both Dennis and I. But initially, no, he was not very happy.
Yeah, that's what I read. That's why I know him, though, from Rescue Me. And
yeah.
he's done great work on Law and Order, and he's done great work. He did an episode of Criminal Intent, I believe the series finale. And he was fantastic. And
he's a great guy. Great guy and very very interesting guy. Real, he's a yeah. real, you know, salt of the earth guy. Was a firefighter.
Yeah,
worked up in the Bronx, and so interesting guy.
That's very good. That's cool that you guys casted him in the show to begin with. That's very
yeah,
cool.
yeah. You know, it's funny because how he got cast. I just remember this. He, I knew him through my ex-in-laws. And I don't even know how the hell they knew him, but we had cast somebody in that role as the chief. I think what we were going to do is we were going to cast Lenny. Lenny was going to play the good chief, you know. And something happened. He had a conflict. You know, if Lenny's working, that's it. He's not going to. He won't drop anything. Lenny loves the money, so he cannot give up any kind of work, so he could not come and do Rescue Me. So we cast somebody else, and I don't remember his name. He's a very good actor. I remember that. Somebody you'd recognize. And he suddenly, after we cast him, he was unavailable. There was some weird conflict or something. And so we were sort of pulling our hair out. And I got a message at the office from, and it said, you know, something from like John McGee. I'm thinking, who the fuck is John McGee? I don't know what John McGee. I'm thinking, and by the way, this happens all the time, you know, with actors. Actors will call and leave messages, and they'll say, I know him.
Yeah.
I know Peter. I know Peter from wherever. And you kind of go, sure. I don't know you. So it took me a while. It really did take me a while, and I finally went, oh, wait a minute, Jack McGee. Oh, you know, that would be interesting, Jack McGee.
Yeah.
And he was in Hawaii. He was on a trip with his wife or something. And I got excited, and I called from New York, and I called Hawaii. So there was a big time difference. I must have called him at something like 4 in the morning. And I said, you need to get a reel to me so I can show Dennis, because I remembered his mug, and I was like, this is the guy, you know.
Yeah.
So just by chance, you know, and I'll tell you what happened. I think Lenny called him. I think when Lenny couldn't do it, he remembered Jack and said, you should call Peter because they're casting the show and you'd be good for the part. So he called from Hawaii. Life's funny.
Life's
yeah,
funny.
Absolutely.
Life is funny.
Wow.
You know, I did want to just get back to one thing, and then I did have another question about that. Maura Tierney, by the way, also deserves a fucking Emmy for her work show.
No kidding.
Unfucking believable.
Let me tell you about Maura Tierney, okay?
Please do.
So when Maura gets sick, right?
Yeah.
You hear about it. So we say, listen, we got to send Maura a message. We got to say, listen, we have every, you know, we didn't know anything about her illness. We didn't know anything. No, but I don't think anybody really did. But we said, listen, we know you're going to get well, and we're so confident of that. We want you to come back to work. And we'll do the storyline whenever you come back. So it's, you know, you've got this whole, here's the time frame, and here's when you can come back and do it. So it was really, we were doing it just to, you know, say, hey, you're going to work again. So get your ass better, you know. Because we really loved her. We love working with her.
Oh, yeah.
And she's a hottie as well. So there's that to take into consideration. So she does get better. And we're thinking, now what are we going to do with her? You know, and we sort of came to the conclusion, well, let's see if she wouldn't mind playing what happened to her. If she wouldn't mind playing for her character what she went through in real life. So she says yes, first of all. So there's some balls there, okay?
Yeah.
And then we write, I would say, a very ham-fisted sort of, you know, story about, you know, whatever. I will tell you, it's not very good. And she, in a very diplomatic way, says, I'm not really interested in playing this, what you wrote. But let me tell you what I really went through when I got sick, and especially when I got better. And whatever she said to us, first of all, she was very candid, and it was really fascinating stuff. And it was about the anger of having been sick and you know, the why me of it, and why did I get better, and, you know, that kind of thing. And it was so right on in terms of Tommy's journey that it was perfect. It was way better than what we were thinking. You know, we were dopes, and it was only because she'd lived it. So she came back and did it. And in effect, now, this is a woman who's been through cancer and has now been given a clean bill of health. We're asking her to go back and play that she has cancer. So you're asking an actress to go back to something that she'd probably rather forget. And boy, did she do it, and with, you know, both hands. I mean, it was unbelievable. So
Emmy.
She's a brave lady, you know?
Oh, yeah. Emmy. But you know what? Fuck the Emmys, though, too, because I just don't like how the whole process is. I'm never getting nominated anyways.
You don't have the party.
Yeah, no.
You don't have the party.
I don't have the party.
No, you don't have
the
party.
I don't schmooze.
You do not schmooze.
And you know what? Those need to be a little more critic voted on than...
You may have been reading some of my press lately, because I've been saying the same thing for the last couple of years.
Oh.
The whole voting system is faulty, and I know, because, you know, I vote on the Emmys, and I'm half the time going, well, I don't watch that show, but I guess I heard it was good. So you're talking about people who, first of all, aren't educated. So, you know, let the critics do it. Let the people whose job it is to watch this stuff. And believe me, you're going to get an entirely different outcome to the Emmys when you do that.
Well, it wasn't,
and it's going to be educated as well. You know,
yeah,
it's going to.
I agree.
Smart.
From your press, I had a class when I was in college, and my professor was an Oscar-winning sound editor, and he told me how the Oscars and Emmys are ran and how you vote on them and everything. And I go, it's all kind of horseshit. And he was telling me how Martin Scorsese got tired of finally losing, so he started playing politics, and he'd have people over for dinner all the time, and he'd have little smorgasbords, and he, because he wanted to win so bad, he was finally palling up to the system. And I go, that's how this shit's voted on? And he goes, oh yeah, all the time. So I'm like, okay, well, that's lovely.
Well, and then you've got another issue. You've got another issue where companies are encouraging or actually fund, they were sometimes funding their employees to become members of the Academy. Now, I'm not saying that they then asked those people to vote along company lines, but I'm sure there was an internal memo that said, remember, the Emmys are coming up, and here are the shows that we have up, and so forth, you know?
Yeah.
No, so if you came from a little cable company, you know, you were a little bit of trouble. If you were at Warner Brothers Television, if you had something at Warner Brothers, that's a different voting block, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree with that whole thing. It's disappointing to hear.
Yeah.
In an entertaining story, Steve and I were thinking about you the other day.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, yes.
Well, here's why. It is announced that you are putting together a pilot with Sean Hayes.
Yes.
I believe the storyline that I read, of course it was very brief, was two gay dads raising a kid.
Ultimately it's two kids.
Oh, okay, great.
Oh,
so here's what happened. My sister's pregnant. So I drive by this store that's called Bye Bye Baby. Ever hear of it?
I don't think that's a very encouraging name.
Yeah, I don't think
it's an abortion clinic or what?
Sure. No, this is real.
Yeah, it's the real name, and it's actually owned by Bath and Body Works.
No, Bed Bath and Beyond.
Bed Bath and Beyond. Thank you. Well, I didn't want to besmirch Bath
and
Body Works.
Do not besmirch them, no.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah. But they have their hangers.
So,
with,
would you stop?
Sorry.
Hangers?
Boy, that's wrong.
No?
It gets
that. I wouldn't write that.
Yeah.
Oh.
put your anal beads back in, Chuck.
Yeah, please.
So we drive by this Bye Bye Baby, and Steve's like, let's go to Portillo's, I'm hungry. And I'm like, I want to buy my sister some baby shower gifts, even though it's like 5 months away. Because I'm like, when the fuck am I ever going to buy a Bye Bye Baby ever again?
Right.
So,
no idea.
So I'm like, might as well do it now.
Yeah.
So we go inside, and I go, I feel like, I haven't even seen this Peter Toland show. I feel like this is that show because they're all looking at Steve, and Steve's like, do I got to go in? I'm like, yes, you got to go in because his sister had a baby last year. I'm like, you can give me some pointers.
I do have, yes.
So we go in the store and we're walking around and everyone thinks we're a gay couple. Everybody.
Yeah.
Getting looked left and right. And
yeah.
I'm like, is this what it's like? And then I'm buying baby shit in there. And then we ended up playing with puppets. And, of course, I chose Bert. And what does idiot choose? Ernie. You couldn't choose a different puppet
what?
To play with.
It was an eye
That
distance.
Didn't help the gay thing.
Oh, come on.
That didn't help it.
I figured it'd be a good compliment to
you
the puppet.
Elmo.
I just grabbed.
Grover.
Like many of my decisions in life, I just grabbed, all right? I didn't know what I was doing.
So, Peter, I guess my question for you is, you know, I just kind of went through this where I felt almost gay. So what is this process like for you, a straight man who's doing a comedy about two gay dads with two kids and can you reveal how old these kids are going to be? What can you reveal?
Well, first of all, you assume too much.
Oh, that's true. All the time.
Yeah. All right. That's the first thing. The second thing is, what's it like? I don't know. You know what? Here's the thing. Here's the thing that's important about that. I've done some fairly edgy stuff, but this is like the most, I feel like I got a target on my back for this one, you know?
Yeah,
because already you sort of read the hicks online, the ones who have been taught how to use a computer by pressing on a lever for food, and they're saying you know this is the gay agenda and the whole thing, and it's just you know it's crazy.
That is kind of asinine, right there.
Yeah, I know. Well, but, so the, look, the fact is, look, I'm not crazy. I'm trying to do a show about two gay parents on NBC. Now, how the hell am I going to get, you know, a lot of people to watch this show so that it's a success? And frankly, the first choice is that, you know, you've got to make people relatable. For anything that you do, really, you've got to make people relatable. So it can't, the show can't be, especially in the initial, you know, in the initial stories that you're doing, it cannot be about gay issues. It can't be, that can't be fueling the stories. The stories are parenting issues and dealing with family. Those are the issues. Those things are relatable to a mass audience. And if you do it properly and you engage people that way and they sort of go, hey, that's just like you, except, you know, if we were two gay guys, that's what we, that's just like us. So that's, you know, that's the first choice, is to make it accessible. Now, who knows if that'll work, but, you know, we'll see. I mean, I've been told, and I don't know how true this is, but I was told by somebody who should know, that there are a number of advertisers who will not advertise on Glee or Modern Family, which is, you know, doesn't seem like a good business choice given that they're big hits, but they will not advertise on those shows because of the gay content.
Oh, hold on. Hold on one thing. We'll get back to this, but we have someone calling in.
Are you serious? Entrance music?
This
Hello?
Is my entrance music?
Yes, Bruce Fretz is on. Oh, here we go.
Oh, Bruce.
Coming down the runway.
Speaking of gay, I can't believe who won Project Runway tonight. You're going to be shocked when you see it, Matt.
Oh, I'll be shocked when I see it. I love how I get thrown into
Bruce
that.
Bruce is taking my segues here. Speaking of gay.
Oh, Peter has not seen the show, surprisingly, Bruce.
I have not.
I heard that. I've been half listening to the podcast and half watching Project Runway with my daughter, because I'm a good father.
Yes, you are. Father of the
Dan Tanner over there.
Yeah. Just don't call me Stamos. That's all I that's where I want.
I like you, Bruce. I wouldn't call you Stamos.
Thank you.
So, Bruce, we were just talking about Peter's new show. But
I heard about that.
Do you have any Rescue Me stuff for Peter before we talk about the new show?
Well, I was at the event that Peter referenced earlier.
And I didn't see you.
I was looking for you, but you ducked out of the party after 20 minutes because...
I did. It was too crazy.
I know. It was a little crazy. There were a lot of firefighters there, which was nice, but it was a little crazy. And I predicted in my head... Peter told him we'll find a way to use the C word in front of this crowd, and I was right.
You were right.
Is this some form of Tourette's that you get in front of an audience and have to either drop your pants or say the C word? Or what's going on there, Peter?
I don't know. I can't look. I don't know. I've got to mix it up. I don't know what my problem is.
Wait just a second. Peter, what was with the pants dropping thing? By
can
the
I
way,
just
love,
say,
the, love the brief.
I'll tell you what. I mean, look, you go to that thing, and they're saying to you, listen, it's been deadly. You know, there haven't been many interesting panels. I mean, the critics are going crazy. They're starting to gnaw off limbs. It's not good out there. They're very bored. So if you guys want to mix it up, that would be great. This is what we're told before we go on.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, okay. It's not like I go there going, hey, wait till I misbehave. Ho-ho. Wait till you see what I've got up my sleeve or down my pants or whatever. You know?
Where does a man buy that print underwear that you had? That's not planned out. Those were
no, that was not a I can't say that was a good choice because I didn't go there thinking that was going to happen.
I thought you did.
So those are like Peter's real underwear.
That's right.
Part of the joke. No.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's real. That's real.
Wow.
Yeah.
It got real here.
I'm out.
Wow.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Wow. Well, I thought that was very funny. Because here's who I heard the news from. My mother, who knows nothing about show business.
Oh, dear.
And she did call in last time and had no questions for Peter, of course. Just Mr. Bruce.
Yeah, well.
And, my mother called. We're going to lunch. And she goes... Your buddy, that Mr. Tolan guy, I saw he took his pants down on the news.
She was on some news.
On AOL.com or something, because she still uses AOL. Maybe it was Netscape or Prodigy. I don't know. But, but they have, like, this news thing for celebrity news or whatever, and there's a picture of Peter with no pants on while I'm eating a submarine sandwich.
That's how most people saw it. I'm sorry, thought I was actually smuggling a sub. I'm sorry.
Well, my mother wants to know who are these Hollywood types I'm talking with.
Yeah, my mother wants to know that as well.
I
love it.
She's like, your friend's taking off his pants.
Won't be the last time.
I'm like, well, it's not the first friend. Won't be the last friend. So let's get back to this pilot. Sean Hayes. This is interesting because I've read a lot of stuff saying he did not want to go back to playing gay. So how did this come up that it was going to be Sean Hayes? And I knew, and I told Steve, I go, this has got to be edgy or fair to a degree, even though it's network, because it's Peter. And he's the king of mean comedy.
Yeah.
So so there's got to be a little kick to this. He's not playing Jack on Will and Grace, I believe.
No, you know, there's a challenge that's built in here is that, you know, obviously Will and Grace was, to some degree, a farce in terms of, especially in terms of the characters of Karen and Jack. They were playing sort of, there was nothing human about them, I guess. They were definitely the comic relief, and they were certainly exaggerated and got more so as the seasons went on. So I'm actually not doing that, and I'm not trying to do a mean thing. I'm actually trying to present, you know, in the same way that Rescue Me was sort of a realistic, if you can be realistic in television, a realistic look at the lives of these characters, then this is a realistic life of that, a look into the lives of two guys living in the middle of the country and raising their kids. So it's not going to be, I'm not going to say it's going to be like a super edgy show. You know, it's going to be, it's definitely a family show with a that's trying to present a typical family that just happens to be two dads. So, and as for Sean, I mean, I don't know that he, I don't know what his concern was. We've never really talked about it. I think I don't know that he was concerned about playing gay or not, but he certainly didn't want to play a heightened character. And he definitely, the thing that he said over and over to me is, I just want the character to be, you know, smart, well-informed, well-rounded, you know, so it's not in any way like a caricature. And that's something that, you know, we've talked about quite a bit in sort of preparing the show.
Single cam or multi-cam, Peter?
Multi, if you can believe it. Trying to go back. Bob Greenblatt is actually the one who's behind this whole thing. He's friendly with Sean, and he contacted me and said, I really think you and Sean should get together and do this. Really interested in having Sean back on the network in what he said would, you know, a classic, smart, multi-camera NBC comedy. And so those were the marching orders. And, you know, that's what we're doing and looking for a great cast. And, you know,
I think it's a good happen. Are you still casting the other Lead? Yeah, lead.
Yeah, we have specific ideas for some of the other characters in the show, but we're really looking around for that other person. In fact, somebody close to the project the other day said to me, well, what about Steve Pasquale from Rescue Me?
Yeah. Ooh. Doesn't he have a show at USA going or no?
They have shot the pilot for that. In fact, I think they've just finished shooting the pilot. And of course, if it's USA, that means it's already been picked up for a second season.
True.
So, Peter, how does it feel to be like off and running this soon, though, where you don't have to fight for a million actors to get on the show?
How do you mean?
Well, because last time you were talking to us, you were like,
"Oh, about pilot season."
Season happens. Yeah, you're fighting over like this actor. Well, he's committed to this show already.
Yeah,
you could get a backup show. So, is this part of the reason you're getting the ground running so soon on this one?
I guess so. You know, but this is sort of like the same. This is sort of like the mid-season go around. You know. So there's going to be that. I think there's going to be that same thing. There are a lot of pilots that have been picked up, so it's going to be the same thing. So in some ways, for this one, we're actually targeting people and going to them and saying, we want you to be in this.
Well, I really hope Up All Night, which I watched tonight with Steve and I watched it. I think if Bob Greenblatt's thinking what I'm thinking, and of course he is, there you go. There's a Wednesday night comedy block. You have some family kind of comedies with adult humor,
right?
Like that. Because Up All Night was the first 10 minutes were slow, and I'm like, all right, I don't know about this. I was laughing pretty hard the last 10 minutes, so I'm gonna give it a few weeks.
What'd I say about it, by the way, Matt?
You said nothing good, to my knowledge.
No, that's inaccurate.
Oh, is it inaccurate?
It's actually kind of sort of inaccurate. I asked, how is it relatable to me?
Oh, that's true, yes.
Oh, yes.
Well, a lot of, you know, Steve, just because you're single without kids doesn't mean everyone else is.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all.
You may be in the minority.
I didn't say anything bad. I was just saying I was having a hard time.
Wait for the Bye Bye Baby episode.
Oh, no, I know.
You'll relate.
When we were looking at prices and having heart attacks.
Plus, I love Maya Rudolph.
You don't like
her? I have a huge crush on Maya Rudolph. I think she's the funniest woman in TV. I do. Or in movies, too. Period. She's hilarious. I love her.
You know what, though, Matt? I saw the original pilot of Up All Night was much funnier than the revised pilot, so that's what worries me about the show. That's what worries me about Peter's show, too, is that it sounds great when Peter talks about it, but is NBC going to come in and NBCize it? You know, I mean, they added Nick Cannon to Up All Night, and it's like, no, don't add Nick Cannon. You don't need somebody else. You know, you got three funny people there. Just because Nick Cannon's on America's Got Talent, don't put him in the middle of this show, you know?
Yeah, well, I'm not a big Nick Cannon fan, so luckily he wasn't in the pilot, so I got to...
Barely, yeah, but they cut out some of the funniest stuff in the pilot. They changed the whole Maya Rudolph character to make her like Oprah, because that's what she played on Saturday Night Live. But now it feels like 30 Rock. It's another behind the scenes of a TV show.
Yeah, well, it's produced by the guy over at 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Lauren.
Matt's best friend.
I was doing my Lauren impression outside, and I'm pretty sure Lauren wouldn't enjoy it, but I thought it was good.
You don't meditate as well, though.
Maya, we want to get you back on network television.
Are you creepy enough to be a good Lauren Michaels, though? That's the real question.
I could be creepy enough to be a good Lauren. Right. Look how Peter's staying at it. He's like, I'm in the people.
I may want to work with Lauren someday. So I never...
Yeah, well, Peter just may want to work at NBC someday.
Well, yeah.
Right. Although I've gotten in enough trouble with NBC, so, you know, how I've managed to get back there, I've no idea.
Yeah, how'd you get chosen for this? Were you, like, seventh on the list, or was Peter Tolan the choice?
I think I was the choice.
Wow. Good for you. Good.
Yeah.
Dreams can come true.
Dreams can.
Yeah, sure.
I'm excited about this. I really am. I think this could be a funny show.
Is NBC being hands-off with so far? I mean, what's your relationship been? Yeah?
Yeah, you know what? So far, to be honest, Bob, you know, since Bob sort of made the match,
right?
He's been very involved, and I've gone in and pitched characters and stuff like that, and he's actually had very good input.
Yeah,
not a lot of it, but what he said has been very, very positive and helpful. So, and you know, if it wasn't the case, I'd tell you. But he's been great.
Well,
I know Bob from a long time.
I was going to say my opinion of Bob Greenblatt went up when he hired you for this, because I'm like, okay, that's a good choice.
It's maybe not the most obvious choice, but whatever, you know.
Yeah, no, I liked it though. I thought that is something. At least from a fanboy insider point of view, I want to see Peter Tolan write these storylines. I'm interested in this now. Like, this is a topic that I haven't seen you do, and I'm kind of interested on your take. So that is something that I'm very into. I'm sure that's not a selling point for some people, but for me, it's no. So I'm interested in that. Do you have anything else you're cooking with? Any movies? Any other TV shows? Are you just going to focus on this?
Well, I think I may have mentioned to you the last time that I was writing a movie version of Baywatch.
That was the you said you couldn't tell us what the movie was. Are you fucking with me, Peter?
No, I've had friends who tried to hold an intervention when they found out. And actually, I finished it, and it's actually turned out rather well. So I mean, it's not a parody.
It's legit Baywatch.
It's not based on the show in any way. There's a couple of winks in the show, but that's about it. It's a real, like a new, whole new idea and characters and stuff like that. So
I actually here at the show. We love Baywatch.
We do.
How many times did you listen to this theme, though, Peter, when you were writing? Was it playing?
Oh, I tried. I don't know anything about that show, to be honest. I never watched it. I didn't watch it in preparation for writing this, so there you go.
So is this like... So you're basically, you're taking a serious approach with this, too. Is it a comedy? It's drama?
It's definitely a comedy, yeah. Okay. It's not camp. It's not camp. It's just imagining that is a real thing, that there is a real program. And, you know, it's two guys who, there's a funny beginning to why these two guys end up going there and taking part in it. And it's, you know, their involvement in the program. It's, you know, it's really a... And in a lot of ways, it would be like a movie like Stripes. You know, it's two guys who are sort of screw-offs who get involved in this thing and think it's a joke, and in the end, they have positive influence on them, and they have a positive influence on it. But anyway, so let's not talk about it too much, because
let's not.
I just want to know, is Hasselhoff involved in any way in this?
He has been written in.
Yeah.
He's been written in playing a part that has nothing to do with his original role.
Yeah.
And Pam Anderson has been written in playing a role.
Huh.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, bullshit. Toland's got this in the car. It's cranked up. He's got the top down. The ladies are staring at him. Can I tell you something? So someone said to me today, they go, my cousin was over, and she asked about the hot guy we had on from Awkward. And then she goes, and who's the older hot guy you had on? She was talking about Toland. What?
Really?
I'm shocked. I'm sorry if I sounded surprised.
I'm surprised myself.
She was talking about the guy with the whitish hair. Like grayish white? I go, Peter Toland? She goes, I don't know. Show me a picture. I'm like, this guy?
Did you show
no,
the
not
pantsless?
The pantsless
I
one.
Say.
I didn't want to turn around too much. It's turn on overload, I guess, if she already liked him. Yeah, so I guess Peter's hot with the ladies,
wow.
too.
Wow.
This is good news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
thought Peter cut quite a dashing figure at the Rescue Me premiere. You know, like he really stands out in the crowd with that hair. You know, it's like it's very distinctive.
You got great fucking hair. My hair's all going. It's not gone yet, but it will be. It will be going.
Well, this is all good news. All good.
Well, you know, Baywatch. We'll change the topic, but
Yeah, that's a dilly of a pickle right there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very. That it's just news to me. It's awesome.
That is great. I can't wait.
I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
I'll
be there.
Which company is that for, though, Peter? Baywatch. Who's
Paramount.
Paramount. Okay. Yeah. They have funny stuff sometimes.
We'll see.
No Vince Vaughn, though? You got to shy away from the Vince Vaughn and the Owen Wilson combo?
I honestly don't know. They, you know, the draft was just turned into the studio 2 days ago. So
gotcha. Any director attached yet?
Nope.
Okay. Nope. All right. So this is very in the development stages still.
Yeah.
So, Peter, anything look good on TV to you this year? Anything that you're liking?
You know, unfortunately, and I really should watch more television. I don't watch television. I really just look to Bruce to try and figure out what's good.
Thank you.
You know, well, I do, Bruce. You know, so
I appreciate that.
I sort of get a vibe from you.
Yeah.
In fact, I was looking at one of the magazines yesterday while I was at CBS taking another writer in for a pitch, and I was, of course, the traffic was so bad I completely missed the pitch, but I was sitting in the waiting room for them to come out, and I ended up reading the magazine. I know some stuff based on that. You know, I'm not a good viewer. It's not my first choice is to sit down and watch television. So, you know, I'm interested to see some stuff mid-season. I mean, I'm really interested to see if something like Smash can actually work.
Yeah, me too. I want to see if Smash works too.
Bruce, did you care? Did you like that?
I kind of did, actually. I liked the pilot. It's something different. It's you know, it's a musical, but it's not as, you know, campy as Glee. It's actually a very good cast. Angelica Houston is great. Deborah Messing is good. I mean, she works in there.
I thought they were clever in the way that they showed the rehearsals for things and mixed it with the actual finished product. I thought that was like a really interesting choice.
Yeah, you know? Catherine McPhee is really appealing. I think it's just a question of, is there enough of an interest in theater, you know?
I think everybody, years ago, at the same time as this was to be being developed, while I was doing Rescue Me, I was thinking about doing a half-hour comedy version of that, where you're watching the creation of a Broadway musical, and the feedback I got from, you know, the people that I was working with, well, this is a niche audience.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so it may not, you know, it may not be a network thing. And
at least Glee has proved nothing can be too gay for TV anymore. So
because
Project Runway wasn't. Yeah.
Look,
I talked to two former executives who I can't name, who both told me if Smash, they saw the pilot. If Smash lasts on TV, Catherine McPhee may get nominated for an Emmy. I don't know about that.
I think
she's going to be a big star. And then I was also told it'll get canceled in a week. So,
not a week, probably.
Yeah, both people told me they ain't going to last. So,
It'll be interesting. And also what'll be really interesting, and I'm saying this from the inside of television, is will... you know, are things like I can't remember all of them, but will you know, what's it called? Pan Am work?
Right, right. Yeah, I'm very
interested
in that too.
Because
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of period stuff that's being done, and if Pan Am doesn't work, you're going to see a bloodbath.
Yeah.
In terms of all the period stuff that's in the hopper.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot of people are now backing off from period stuff because it's a wait and see on that.
Right. Right.
I
like Pan Am much more than the Playboy Club, and I think Pan Am has a chance to work in a way that Playboy Club doesn't, because I think Pan Am they can legitimately sell it as a female escapist fantasy. You know, it's a bit of a reach to say that stewardesses were really, you know, leading the feminist movement, but there's something, you know, that I can see women getting into the idea of, oh, you're flying around the world and having these romances. Women are not going to watch the Playboy Club and go, oh, I wish I was a bunny in the Playboy Club in Chicago in the 60s getting my ass pinched. It doesn't wash. And so I think both shows are kind of counter-programming football on Sunday and Monday nights, but men are not going to watch Playboy Club instead of football, but women might watch Pan Am instead of football. So I'm hoping Pan Am works, because it's a much better show than Playboy Club, too. But it could just be like Lone Star and be two episodes and out.
True. So it's
Pan Am.
It's going to be really interesting to see what happens this season.
Yeah.
You know, because I think it's going to be, I think they're going to be fantastically interesting casualties along the way.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Which isn't usually the case, other than the most obvious ones. Gentlemen, you know, I actually have to jump off because my poor wife, I have to take her out to dinner.
Oh, that's fine. I have a couple questions for Bruce. Anyways, by the way, thanks for promoting the Playboy Club. David Krumholtz is on tomorrow.
Yes.
And Jennifer.
Oh, he is. All right. Well, sorry that I just shat all over it. But
Michael.
All right.
Michael,
well, it's nice to talk to everyone. And
Peter, it's a pleasure.
Thank
always,
you.
Always a special time.
And enjoy dinner. And
behave.
If you can lie as well as you just did to me, you're going to get laid tonight. So enjoy.
Very good. Very good. Thank you so much. All right, guys.
Bye, Peter.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Pete.
You know, I got an interesting question for you, Bruce.
Yeah.
You were talking about the period pieces, bloodbath. What about female-led comedies like the one tonight with Up All Night and Whitney and Two Girls? If those don't do well, are we looking
Charlie's Angels is returning.
Oh, Charlie's Angels, I heard, is terrible.
Charlie's Angels is terrible, yeah. Two Broke Girls, I think, is going to work because I think it fits in that CBS slot. So I think if that works, that's not going to kill female comedy. Whitney, I'm hoping, will not work because what I want them to do is move Up All Night onto Thursday nights, although it actually did surprisingly well last night on Wednesday night at 10, which is a weird slot, but I think because of the America's Got Talent lead-in, a lot of people stuck around and watched the first episode, but I don't know if people liked it. From the comments I got on the blog today, it seemed like a lot of people were disappointed in it. So the question is, do people come back next week when it's on all by itself Wednesday at 8, up against The X Factor and The Middle and, you know, some strong show, Survivor. I think I'm hoping Whitney will – I mean, it's kind of hard to fail on NBC Thursday nights. I mean, Outsourced managed to do it, so I'm hoping Whitney will continue that.
How can you
but
fail?
The bar is pretty low in terms of the ratings on that night now, so, you know, it might do well enough to stay on.
Yikes.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that, Bruce.
We found out something really interesting about Whitney Cummings. She's not lying about her age.
Yeah, what? That's not possible. Come on.
Yeah, no. Larry Doyle claims, I like Larry, so I'm going to say this is probably accurate then. He knows people that went to college with her. But then he said
in
she's
1980.
30. Then, yeah, in 1980. Yeah. He said if she's lying, it's only by a year or two, which I don't
know. Not 10, which is what I'm convinced.
Well, I don't know about it. She's not 28.
Shocking.
I go out every weekend. I know what 28 looks like.
Right.
Chuck Bass.
Well, you know, she looks like she's had a lot of work done, too, but I think it's not been good work. I think it's made her look older, you know?
It does
she's
make
like,
her look older.
Yeah.
She's starting to look like Joan Rivers.
So how about Bruce?
In a good way.
Bruce, did you know that Baywatch thing with Peter Tolan?
I think he just broke some more news there. I think every time Peter Tolan comes on, he breaks news for you because I don't think that's out there.
He likes.
That's
me.
Huge.
He likes me.
That's huge.
So I don't
and actually,
know,
you know, he made it sound kind of good.
Yeah, he did make it sound kind of good, but I mean, I'd be doing the same if I wrote Baywatch the movie. I'd try to make it sound good, too.
I'm so glad Hasselhoff's at least written in.
Well, you know what? I have a rule. If it's Peter Tolan, it's at least got to be interesting.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's my rule of thumb. Because even like Guess Who, which he wrote, the best flick ever, but there's that
not
scene
terrible.
At the dinner table where Ashton Kutcher's telling black jokes.
Yeah.
And that is such a Peter Tolan scene, and it's really good. So.
Yeah.
You get something with Peter at least every time.
Yeah. And Bernie Mac was always funny, no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was an interesting casting idea, too. Stephen Pasquale for that show they're doing.
I like that idea, although you know it's going to end up being Craig Bierko, so.
Come on. You know what? Peter had a meeting with Bierko last year for pilot season, so it may be.
I bet that's my bet.
Have you made friends with Bierko yet on the book?
I have not.
Why not?
Bruce is scared of him because he booed, he cheered,
jeered.
Well, yeah, he didn't cheer.
I cheered that Farrelly Brothers show.
Yeah. What was it called? Where he's fucking the girl and there's a monkey on the floor or something.
Unhitched.
Unhitched.
Oh, well, let me tell you something. It's coming from someone who Craig doesn't like, being me.
Oh, he doesn't not like you.
He'll be all right.
You're the mosquito on his ass.
And I've been sucking blood, apparently.
Yeah. Craig's a great guy, though. One time we did talk about Roger Ebert at lunch.
Oh.
And Roger Ebert gave Sour Grape 0 stars.
Yeah.
And Craig didn't say he hates the guy, but it was the one time in the conversation where he wasn't too confident and happy.
Yeah.
So, Bruce may be right.
Speaking of 0 stars, we need to discuss Bucky Larson.
Yes, let's discuss
Jesus.
Bucky Larson, because we did on Monday's show already, or Tuesday's with Eric Doyle, whatever. They all run together now.
Yeah.
But we were waiting for you for the good stuff. TwoCrankyGuys.com.
Yeah.
Bruce Fretz and I reviewed Bucky Larson because Brett Watson took a vacation.
Yeah.
Convenient. Very convenient plan.
Which he came back from early because he got a cold.
What? Oh, that was from the beginning.
First of all, he went on vacation in Colonial Williamsburg, which, you know, I have kids. I've been on vacation in Colonial Williamsburg. Brett doesn't have children, and he takes vacations in Colonial Williamsburg. Okay, that's the first thing. Second thing, he gets a cold and comes home. I mean, come on. What's going on there?
Couldn't tell you.
Oh, man.
What I could tell you about is Bucky Larson.
Brett Watson and I are having a conversation this week.
I may be going to see Contagion with him tomorrow, so we'll see.
Oh, come on! You're giving him the movie with an 86% positive review on Rotten Tomatoes, and I get the 0? Oh, I forgot to ask Tolan about Larry fucking Poindexter.
Oh, no.
They supposedly got into a tiff today.
Oh.
Fuck me. God damn it. All right, back to Bucky Larson, though.
Yeah.
Now I'm going
to be worst movie ever made.
Oh, so anyway, Bucky Larson.
Well, a lot of people are actually clicking on the review at twocrankyguys.com because we can see how people find it. And a lot of people are Googling Bucky Larson worst movie ever and finding our review.
Oh, no.
People are also Googling Bucky Larson male nudity and finding our review, but not quite as many.
Is that how that works? That's how
yes.
you, You can figure that stuff out.
Yeah, we can see how people found it. Our most popular reviews ever are Friends with Benefits, because people click in search for Mila Kunis ass, and Tree of Life, because people search for Tree of Life, which son died, because we talked about how we couldn't figure out which son died. And we've gotten hundreds of people finding the website through those things. So I think Bucky Larson, Worst Movie Ever, and Bucky Larson, Male Nudity, may be the new magnets that are drawing people to Two Cranky Guys. So thank you for that.
Oh, well, anytime I can help. You know me. I'm just all about the tag words.
Yeah.
My producer, Caesar, said to me today, I had to set up the show today, and he goes, the tag words for the show were black, politics, conservative women pregnant, or something like that. And he goes, no one's going to search our show and find it. And I go, yeah, that was the point. But anyways, Bucky Larson. Well,
yeah.
First of all, there's not a laugh in the movie.
No.
I had almost a giggle. Kevin Nealon.
Somebody found it searching for Kevin Nealon popping out of a closet.
Did someone really?
They did, I'm telling you.
Well, they were wondering if he was gay. But,
I guess so, yeah.
Well, then that makes me wonder what gay man has a crush on Kevin Nealon.
All of them.
That's the guy,
Nealon? Oh, yeah.
Not Matthew Boomer or whatever.
No.
Let's
Kevin
go to
Nealon.
Kevin Nealon.
Kevin Nealon, yeah.
I just don't even know what to say about Bucky Larson anymore. Because Sandman, man.
Yeah.
I know. He let you down.
Bruce, there's no way he wrote that movie, though, right?
No. He didn't spend more than an afternoon on that movie. I can't believe he did. I mean,
I don't think
it had to be all Swardson. You know, maybe a little Alan Covert, but mostly Swardson.
Yeah, but you're not going to be happy with this. I heard your boy Booger's now in the Sandler crew. He's doing his next movie, too.
Is he really?
Yep.
I like Booger.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Curtis Armstrong, he's good, I'm telling you.
He was he is good. He was really good on The Closer, which you cheered him for.
Yeah, he was great.
But I'm just disappointed he was in Bucky Larson. He was not
good. Well, one scene, the beginning, you know. He needs to eat. Come on.
Oh, man.
Don Johnson.
Or Don Johnson.
I don't
Don
even
Johnson.
Know what to say, Chuck, have you seen Bucky Larson?
Nope.
Do you have plan
not.
On it?
I don't even know what it is.
You better hurry if you're going to see it, because it's going to be done.
I don't
tomorrow.
Think it's theaters next week.
No, I hope not.
I haven't even seen previews for it. I really have no idea what it is.
You're better off for it.
You and 99% of America, apparently, because it tanked, man.
Bruce, can I tell you the funniest part of the movie for me, at least? Matt drops his phone in the movie theater floor and gets really disgusted by touching the floor. That did it for me. I mean,
well, see, I didn't know that Matt was a germaphobe, or else I would have suggested Contagion. But, you know, now I find this out.
He's a huge
germaphobe. Well, by the way, that was my email to Peter Toland that went.
Oh, was it?
So, anyway.
To the moon!
Yeah. So, I'm in, I'm a total germaphobe. I'm in that movie. Like, I got up, and half my hand was Skittles, and the other half was, like, cat hair. And I don't know how I got in the movie, but it was there. It was disgusting. And they have Bucky Larson, Don Johnson. God, whoever's his agent, fire him.
I know.
From.
I know. Between that, he's also in a good old-fashioned orgy, which, you know, totally tanked also. And he's trying to, like, do this, like, comedy thing now. And he was on Conan the other night trying to, like, you know, be sort of, you know, self-aware. And it's not working for him. It's just not working. He needs to, like, find better material or something, because it's just, you know, it's sad, because he's a good actor, you know?
Yeah, he's still got great hair.
He does have great hair, yeah.
Yeah.
Great stubble still.
I kind of was feeling like Bruce was miles deep in that film.
I'm working the stubble now. I'm trying to do channel a little Don Johnson right now.
I love how people are Googling Bucky Larson, worst movie ever, though, and that's how they're We got to get you and Brett on Rotten Tomatoes, because there was only like reviews for that movie. By the way, Bruce. Oh, fuck. I didn't tell him this.
What?
Nick Swartzen's no longer my Facebook friend.
Yeah, Nick Swartzen unbooked you.
Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
He was your friend?
Uh-huh.
He saw the review, I guess.
Not anymore, pal. So, I guess. guess I'm not going to be in the Sandler business until he gets Alzheimer's. Thank you for ruining one career track.
Oh, and there's another reason for Sandler's publicist to hate me.
Yeah.
Because I have talked to her before via email.
She's not a big fan.
Well, she kind of likes me until I email her more than four times a day.
Well, that was like today with Pat.
Yeah.
Pat emailed Will Ferrell's publicist, and he's like, look, I told you, he's not available on that date.
You know what's astounding to me is every time she said he was filming, I'm like, oh, come on, how many movies is he doing at the same time?
50.
And she wasn't wrong.
No, he has a movie that comes out like every 6 months.
I thought she was telling me to go take a hike. No, she literally was correct.
It's that story Salisbury told on the show.
Yeah.
Where he's on the private plane with Adam, and he's like, well, you make like $10 million a movie, and Adam looks at him and goes, don't short me my $5 million.
What? Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, like bros making bank.
Yeah.
But you know what? He needs new writers or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, Jack and Jill looks like it could be worse than Bucky Larson. So,
oh!
You know, it does. Come on. That
first
was terrible.
It stars the Sandman. I saw Timmy Meadows in the preview and Nick Swartzen. And what
Al
else?
Pacino.
My guy, Alfredo Pacino is in Jack and Jill. Hitting on a female Sandler. That's Jim right there.
That's creepy.
No, that's last minute.
Chuck, you don't think that's funny?
No, it's funny, but
Pacino
in a creepy way.
Pacino and a female Sandler?
I don't know.
I have a feeling I'm going to be leaving that movie, though, just wishing it was a romantic comedy between Sandler and drag and Al Pacino.
All right, I changed my mind. That's creepy.
It would be good for me. I would have enjoyed it.
I think it's going to be Sandler's Norbit. That's my prediction.
Oh! Norbit?
Yeah.
So you think
I'm getting a serious Norbit vibe off it.
This is the one that's going to tank his career, but Norbit was a hit.
It was a hit, but it totally screwed over Eddie Murphy, although now he's hosting the Oscars, so.
Yeah, well, Brett Ratner got him in that.
I know.
So you really think this is his Norbit? Well, Steve, maybe he will hire us at some point then.
I hope.
Because if he's going to hit the bottom floor, that's when we could pick up on the Sandler.
Oh, yeah.
Once Hollywood doesn't like him anymore, we'll be like, we've always liked you.
Yeah, I even saw Bucky Larson.
We even saw Bucky Larson. I told Bruce, I'm like, what are we supposed to say if we went to a premiere? First of all, this movie had a premiere.
What? How?
Well,
So
what do these people say when they're leaving the theater?
Booby,
baby. I bet Sandman didn't even go. I bet he was busy or something.
B-ball. Let's just hope he was playing basketball.
Well, I think we've decided Nick Swartzen, no more lead roles for Nick Swartzen.
No, I think everyone's decided that, yeah.
You know what? I could have gone without Bucky Larson to tell you that he didn't need a lead role, though. Not to be rude, but, you know, he wasn't a lead guy to me to begin with.
He's no Alan Covert.
No, he's not. And I didn't need that car accident of a movie to prove to myself.
That's funny. He's no Alan Covert.
Well,
because I was telling Steve during the movie, I'm like, Alan Covert's like Paul Newman. Compared to this fucking guy.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
You never saw Grandma's Boy?
I never saw Grandma's Boy, no. Although I was kind of fascinated, you know, by the idea of it, but then I just couldn't bring myself to watch it.
I like it. It's a good movie, I think.
Really?
I thought it was going to be really stupid, but
it
had its funny moments.
It's got way better tits than Bucky Larson. It's got
it'd be hard to have worse ones.
Yeah, no. Yeah, all the hot chicks were busy during the filming of that movie, I guess. Oh, what is our sound guy Adam say about Christina Ricci?
Oh, that she looks like a Boston Terrier.
Oh
no!
Now come on,
like her.
That's mean.
That's what Adam said.
He has to say it's mean because he likes Pan Am and he wants to interview.
I do like Pan Am.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that's Adam Steven with a PH in the last.
I know Adam. Yeah, I know Adam.
I told you though. I kind of.
I'm gonna defriend him right now.
Purge. 200-person purge. I knew it.
I kind of have a crush on Christina Ricci.
She was,
but I also own four dogs.
Yes.
So,
oh.
I don't know. What? I'm just saying. It could be a psychological thing.
Hey, Bruce, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
One of my favorite shows, unfortunately, they replaced the lead actor, Andy
Warren
Whitfield.
Warren Home? Oh.
Andy Whitfield, because he died. But I saw the trailer for the new Spartacus show, and it looks good. But I'm always afraid that when they replace a lead actor, I'm afraid it's just not going to be the same. Have you heard?
I
anything?
Haven't seen it. Yeah, I haven't heard. I mean, I know that they wanted to try to keep him. They tried to, they did the whole prequel series to like buy him some time, and
yeah.
It seemed like he was getting better. And then, obviously things went south. So I think it's going to be hard to, you know, to keep that show going. I mean, they're going to try, but seems like he was a big reason for success, and that's, you know, that's tough. That's, you know, that's your title character. You know, it's like it's been done once or twice before, you know, Valerie's family, that kind of thing. But for the most part, when you lose the lead character on a really single, you know, character-focused show like that, it's really hard to keep it going.
But, yeah, I mean, the first season was really great. And I like the prequel. Matt doesn't like it because he watched it once and there was, like, a penis on there.
There was too many wieners.
There was a lot of boobs and a little bit of wiener.
But no, I think it was the other way around.
There was so much violence. It was just awesome.
Chuck, there was way more penis than boobs on that show.
No, Lucy Lawless got naked, like, all the time.
The live studio audience did not like it.
Yeah, all one of them.
First
I don't
of all,
know. I think any penis is too much penis, so, you know.
Yeah. Thank you, Bruce. All right.
It's still a good show.
Look, it's like Scarlett Johansson's boobs, though. You've seen Lucy Lawless's boobs on the internet, so I don't have to watch the show to see them. I've now seen Scarlett Johansson's boobs.
I don't watch
boobs.
The show to see boobs. I mean, it's a very nice part, but it's very violent. That's why I like
hey,
it.
Hey, Bruce was at one of your shows yesterday, Boardwalk Empire, and
I was.
I got to watch this crazy thing.
You have to watch the show. It's so good.
I'm still on Sopranos withdrawal.
I didn't really like the first season.
Really?
I thought it was okay.
No, come on.
Leonard loves it. Lenny loves it.
But it took me...
I don't like Michael Pitt.
It took me two seasons to convince Matt to watch Justified, and you said, oh, it's one of my favorite shows, and he texted me. I think I'm going to watch Justified.
Look, Bruce is the GOAT. You heard Peter Tolan.
I know.
He judges his TV viewing by Bruce Prentz.
He's just trying to get good reviews. Come on.
He's just trying to get a cheer from you.
Yeah, exactly.
Cheer for revealing his Baywatch. Yeah, how did he know you're not going to jeer him for doing Baywatch?
I reserve judgment on that. Come on. I actually kind of like the original Baywatch. I was on the set of Baywatch once.
What? Were you? Any good?
Oh, yeah. That was one of the great professional experiences of my career.
Any good story?
Well, Hasselhoff threatened to kick my ass.
What?
It's true.
Wait, what do you mean? Wait, like joking around, like, Bruce, I'm going to kick your ass?
Not really, no. It was we were shooting a cover, and it was kind of a bit of a chilly day on the beach, and he wouldn't take his jacket off. And he's standing there with Nicole Eggert and Pamela Anderson in their, you know, red bathing suits, and he's wearing a jacket. And we're like, come on, take the jacket off. It's a cover. It's, you know, it's a lifeguard show. You know, show a little skin. And he was adamant that people did not watch the show for skin. They watched the show for the characters and the storylines. And he did not want this story to be about TNA. That was what he kept saying to me. This better not be a TNA story. So I asked, what am I going to say? You know, I was like, well, no, you know. So he finally takes the jacket off. He's like, I'm going to take it off. But if this is a TNA story, I'm going to come after you. I'm going to kick your ass. I know where you live. It's like seriously threatening me.
He knows where you live? Wow.
That's what he said. I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, he is Hasselhoff. He knows a lot.
Yeah,
you better hide under that desk.
David said people watch that show for the storylines and the characters.
He truly believed that.
I love how Bruce was miles deep, though, there going, show me some skin, Hasselhoff. Fuck, take the jacket off. Oh, that is too good. I love a good Davey Hasselhoff story. He was in Click with Adam Sandler.
He was.
There's your Adam Sandler fact of the minute.
Saw him in Vegas a couple of years ago, a week before that tape come out, at
Who?
A bar drinking
Hasselhoff. Saw him?
I told you this.
Oh, when you were in Vegas and you saw him hammered,
it was
and then
a week later that tape came out. I still think it was the same night. In my mind, it was.
It probably was.
I was watching his pay-per-view concert, and I paid for it, the night of the White Bronco chase.
Wait, you paid for it?
I did. It was like $9.99. It was a live concert. It was like the most disastrous pay-per-view of all time because everyone was watching that Bronco chase. I didn't know what was going on. I was watching Hasselhoff. I flipped over like halfway into the chase. I'm like, I can't believe I missed this.
Wait, is that like the craziest night of TV ever?
Hasselhoff
has a live concert. OJ kills Nicole. Like the greatest night of television of all time. Ken Hamill. Ken Hamill didn't know what to do. He had to put one TV next to the other. Get the antennas up.
Don't forget Al Michaels calling in, telling him it's fourth and goal and go for the end zone.
I'm not going to name names, Bruce, but Steve has a little crush on one of your Facebook friends.
Really?
Uh-huh. Older woman. Older woman. I'll tell you in private because
All right.
I think you'll have a good laugh.
All right.
Steve was telling me the other night how he wants to take her to this bar Residuals in L.A. and show her how it's done. And I spit root beer all over myself.
I can't imagine who you're talking about, but I can't wait to find out.
Oh, it was this good.
Can I just explain myself briefly? A little aside, if you will. Matt,
a duvet?
I don't know what I'm saying at this point. I don't know. Matt says, well, would you bang her? And me, being the guy who doesn't get that much sex, I go, well, you know, yeah, absolutely, in a minute. And the reason being is, you know, I didn't think she was bad looking, and beggars can't be choosers, Bruce. Sexually, you cannot be a chooser if you're a beggar.
I did have one last thing to talk to Bruce about. Oh, God. No, you can't. Beggars can't be choosers, no.
It's true. Well, what do you want me to do?
Bruce doesn't have that problem. He's got the new GF.
That's true.
I do, yeah.
He's rolling deep. Boardwalk Empire party, pal.
That's right.
Deep.
Right, yeah.
Did you take her to that?
See the pictures? I put pictures up. Come on.
She may be using you for events, Bruce.
No.
Taking her everywhere. Rescue me. Bruce, I'd almost date you to go to that. I'll have a fruity drink with you at the Boardwalk Empire party. Bruce, are you getting the new Tony Bennett album Tuesday?
I haven't decided. I was going to, and then you told me, you kind of, you know, said that you couldn't go there, and it made me doubt, you know, whether I really want to do it.
My problem is I've heard cuts of it, and it's just like Tony's, like, losing it.
No, Tony will never lose it.
I don't know. It's kind of hard to listen to. Like, his voice just isn't his voice of even, like, 10 years ago. Chuck, what do you think of Tony Bennett right now? I feel like it's sacrilege what I'm saying. The Italians are going to kill me later.
I can see them lining up in Melrose Park waiting for you.
Look, I love Tony Bennett. But first of all, him doing a duet with, you know, Lady Gaga.
What?
Yeah.
Oh,
Lady
no.
Gaga, Amy Winehouse.
I kind of like Lady Gaga.
No, I like her, too. I think she's talented. I don't want to watch her ever, but I can listen to her.
Yeah, I don't mind watching.
She's not that hot.
If that's
bro.
Not Three's company, I don't know what is.
I don't think she's
Bruce,
like
hot,
Lady Gaga.
I think she's attractive.
I wouldn't say she's hot, no, but she's talented. And Tony Bennett apparently loved her. He was like comparing her to Ella Fitzgerald.
I know.
I mean,
I saw that hyperbole on my fucking Facebook page. Look,
she's got a good voice. She could sing, you know. I mean, so Amy Winehouse had a good voice, too, you know. There's nothing wrong with that.
I heard her one time just playing the piano and singing,
yeah,
and she was really good.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. But does she have to dress up like Pony Boy when she does it? No. And that's not hot.
Well, that wasn't.
No, that wasn't her.
Well, you don't have to look at her while you're listening to her with Tony Bennett.
But
you know,
those like, other Tom H.R. Gossip.
Wait, Bruce. I don't have to look at her when I'm listening to her with Tony Bennett. I ain't looking at Tony Bennett.
No, but I mean, you could just listen to the music. You don't have it doesn't have to be a visual element involved.
Okay, but here's the other problem. I picked up the Eric Clapton, Wynton Marsalis album from this week.
Yeah.
Come on, you can't top that. I don't know. I'm like, it's just going to pale in comparison.
Did I see something with Mick Jagger's new band's coming out, the CD?
Yeah, doesn't Mick Jagger have a new band or something?
I thought, he does, and I forgot.
No, he's doing an album. I don't think it's a new band. They got like a tribute, like a big celebrity band they put together.
Yeah, like but I heard, but isn't
Did you read what Keith Richards wrote about Mick Jagger in his book?
No, I haven't read the book
I don't
yet.
Think they're going to be touring together.
Dragged him through the
soon.
Mud. It was ugly.
Yeah,
they'll be back together. Come on, the money is too big for them not to.
Well, they have to
patch up their differences and go out on tour.
You know what though? Slash didn't go back with Guns N' Roses. Guns N' Roses are out touring right now. And
well, come on, have you seen Axl Rose lately?
I haven't.
Here's who's in the band: it's Mick Jagger, Dave Stewart, who's awesome, Josh Stone. Either way, I can go either way on her. Damian Marley, who opened for them their whole tour.
Yeah.
And A.R. Rahman, who I don't know of.
That's the guy who did the music for Slumdog Millionaire.
Did you like Slumdog Millionaire, Bruce?
I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it, yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Overrated.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. By the way, did The Mentalist turn out to be good in the opener?
I haven't seen the opener of The Mentalist yet.
They didn't send you that?
No.
Oh.
I've gotten very little of the new season so far. I've seen a little bit of the new CSI with Danson.
I've seen a little bit of the Danson CSI, too. And I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah. What else have I seen? I watched a couple of Parks and Recreations today.
Yeah.
Still not totally sold on that show.
Neither am I.
But,
I do like Offerman, though. Nick Offerman's very good on it.
Yeah, although I feel like the character is very caricature, you know. It's not he's not like a real human being, you know. He's very one-dimensional.
No.
So.
But I like him. That show isn't doing it for me either right now. I just started watching Parks and Rec, though. I'm at first season, so.
Yeah.
It's kind of pain.
It gets better. I mean, the last couple seasons were better than the first one, but I still don't think it's as great as some critics make it out to be.
Part of me just wishes Bradley Whitford didn't die on The Mentalist.
he was great.
I love Bradley Whitford. You can't go wrong with him.
Yeah.
Anything else we should be watching, Bruce? Anything else coming out?
I finally watched Person of Interest the other day, the J.J. Abrams, you know, Michael Emerson, Jim Caviezel thing.
Yeah, Ken Howe. It was good. Was it good?
It's pretty good, yeah. I mean, it's interesting. Like, CBS's dramas, I watched them all back to back, and they're all kind of the same in that they're procedurals. You know, they have, like, one story each week that has a beginning, middle, and end. So, Person of Interest, you know, they find out in advance, like, the social security numbers of someone who's going to be involved in a crime. They don't know whether he or she is the victim or the perpetrator, and they try to prevent it. And then Unforgettable Poppy Montgomery has this, like, total recall memory, and she works on a case a week. And Gifted Man, it's like Patrick Wilson's a doctor who talks to his dead wife, and there's a case a week. So they all have, like, a kind of USA Network, like, twist to them, you know?
Gifted Man, though?
No. Gifted Man was the worst of them. Oh, Gifted Man was the worst of them, especially because Margot Martindale's totally wasted in it. But
my guy, Eric, too. I'm kind of shocked. I love him. Well, I'm having Neil Baer on in a month. I'm going to pretend.
I won't call in that night.
You can call in during the ER part, Bruce. You'll be and then cut out. Unfortunately, you're driving under a tunnel during a Gifted Man.
But Person of Interest was the most interesting of them, actually. I mean, because I did feel like, you know, it had a little bit of that Lost vibe. Not that I was a huge Lost fan, but you know, there's a little bit of an interesting mystery kind of that will continue through the series of, like, what exactly is going on here, you know?
I heard through the grapevine, though, Leslie Moonves' baby is unforgettable.
Well, I think that's going to do really well because it's going to be on after the NCIS shows. And, you know, Poppy Montgomery was on Without a Trace for years. And it just feels like a very, you know, mainstream CBS kind of right down the middle of the pike kind of show.
That's what I heard about it. And speaking of Leslie Moonves, I'd be remiss if I didn't announce Big Brother has been renewed for another season.
Oh, thank God.
So Sam Simon is throwing a party at his house right now. Well, actually, he's suing. What's the name of that yogurt company out in L.A. that I can't stand, that everyone loves?
Activia?
No, the one where Larry David goes to. Bruce, they go to Pinkberry.
Pinkberry, yeah. Frozen yogurt.
Pinkberry.
Why?
Because they sold him their former, it's a former Pinkberry store, and they said it was set up for restaurant capabilities, and it was an auto shop. It's not set up for any restaurant capabilities. So Sam's suing the fuck out of him. Because he needs more money. Because Sam Simon's broke or something, yeah. I love Sam, though. He's a great guy.
He's suing upon principle.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah. Well, Bruce, you got Peter Tolan to comment about you in Project Runway. I'm glad you enjoyed it. He was shocked. He thought I was joking with him when I said that.
I heard that. Yeah, I was sitting there actually watching it and listening at the same time, and I laughed, and my daughter said, "What are you laughing at?" I said, "They're talking about me watching Project Runway." It was a totally weird meta moment, you know?
No.
It was a meta something, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Olive's got to think Dad's so popular.
Absolutely.
She's the best, though. You guys are awesome. I love you. You're the best.
Thank you. Feelings mutual.
TwoCrankyGuys.com. Bucky Larson, worst movie ever, says Bruce and I. I'm surprised Bruce agreed, worst movie ever. Maybe he just couldn't think of one at the time, but.
Well, I'm holding out hope that Jack and Joe will top it, but we'll see.
Oh. You know what? I have a theory, too, that you're going to ask me to do that Jack and Joe review with you.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that to you. I wouldn't do that to you.
Oh, really? Well, because maybe I'll like it, though.
Maybe.
Maybe it'll be thumbs way up.
No, I want to put Brett through that. I mean. Brett deserves Jack and Jill after bailing out on this one.
Well, all right, Bruce. I will talk to you very soon.
All right, man.
And we will have you on again.
Very soon.
Soon. Thank you, Steve. I'm dying. It's the smoking and the weather.
Oh, good God.
Calm down, B. Arthur. I'm sitting next to Mary and Rhoda here. So.
Oh, no.
All right, Bruce, thank you very much.
All right, good night, guys.
TV Guide Magazine, cheers and jeers.
Cheers.
All right, and we're at it out.
All right.
Hang up on Bruce. Oh, I'm still on. Hey, don't you